Well, the world's on fire and the culture's disintegrating. Hey, pass the salt. Coach Dave coming at you live and in color from an underground bunker out in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio, July 11th, 2016. The Lord is not making another one. I want to apologize for us not getting the theme song up there. I just had, just before we went on the air, I had Jared doing about 16 different things. So it's my fault, not his fault. Welcome. I don't know about you guys. I couldn't wait for Monday morning to hit so I could get in here and join all you guys. It looks like we have a full – now we might have room for one more down there in the queue. And just got – man, we got just got some – what do they call that, debriefing? Just got some stuff to talk about that we – stuff we got done this weekend, stuff that's going on. This – the world is on fire. It's on fire. And I'm telling you, the demons are – it's crazy, man. It's crazy. Now, I continually run into people. Pardon me, why? I actually can see. It's just up close. So I got dollar store glasses. If I lose them, it's no big deal. Hey, John, I got dollar store glasses to read. So I got to clean them a little. I do this so I can see their face. Listen, I keep harping on this. I keep harping on it. And the more I harp on it, the more people think I'm crazy. And we have got to know this, guys. We have got to understand that spiritual demonic activity is increasing every day in America. We'll hear people talk about the devil's gone wild because he knows his time is short and all that. It's like they're watching a video game. They're like watching a replay of a video game. They do not take seriously what the scriptures tell us. It's just like I sat my little granddaughter down yesterday, 2 days ago. She stayed all night with us. And we got up in the morning, and she was telling me something. She said, Grampy, I got a text. I'm echoing for some reason, guys. I don't know why that is. Maybe somebody have their microphone on. Sometimes you get an echo like that. Are you guys hearing echoes? We okay? No echoes?
You're fine. You're fine. Okay,
great, thanks. So it's on your end. So I got my granddaughter. She's 5 years old, and she starts telling me, Grampy, we learned this Bible story about, but I can't remember what it was. I stopped her. I said, Wait a minute, honey, those aren't Bible stories. A story is something that's made up. You're reading history. And she said, what's history, Grampy? Well, history is like when you go back and you look at your mommy's yearbooks from when she was in high school and you open it up and there was mommy and she was young and she had friends and pictures and she played on a softball team. See, those aren't stories, honey. That's history. That's a history of your mommy's life. So every day that we live is another day of history, and we like to document it. We like to keep records and pictures and things like that, that then we can tell the stories about our history, but it's history. And I said, about the story of David and Goliath, have you heard of that, Reese? Well, yeah, Grampy, I know David and Goliath. I said, honey, that's not a story. That's history. That really happened. Do you know the story of Jonah and the whale? Because she loves whales. Yeah, Grampy, yeah. Well, honey, listen. They call that a Bible story, but that's not a story. That's history. That really happened. So do you remember last year when we took you out to the zoo and we went and we saw the camels and you got to get up on the camel? You remember that, Reese? So you can tell that story, but that's history. You say, Coach, what's the big deal? Well, the big deal is this. We got to quit teaching our kids the Bible's fantasy, allegorical. I got in that discussion yesterday with somebody. They said, oh, that's – you don't really believe that, do you? How do you answer that? How do you – you really believe that God parted the Red Sea? See, here's our problem. If parting the Red Sea is allegorical, not really true, just a story, if Samson and Delilah is just a story, if Moses, excuse me, being put in a basket and floated down, if that's just a story, then what means that Jesus dying on a cross isn't just a story? At what point, when we say, well, that's not literal, that's just a story, at what point Do we destroy the faith of our children when we do that? So I can't emphasize enough how important that is, guys. We gotta quit using the language. We take kids, we put them in school, and then we teach them science. We teach them the science of evolution. We teach them the science of global warming. We teach them the science of molecular biology. We teach them the science of chemistry. And then we take them in church and teach them Bible stories. Hey, which Coach, ones are they going to believe? Yes, sir.
Yeah. Can y'all see this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, I just, you know, there may be somebody listening or something that questions the Bible stories that says, well, you know, they can't really be true. Science says they can't be. But I'll tell you what, if there's something in this that's not true, and you're convinced that it's not true, just take it and rip that page out. That was Exodus, where the Red Sea was. Just rip that page out and throw it away.
Yeah.
But let me tell you what, if you rip one page out, you may as well throw the whole thing in the trash.
Larry, so we were. Let me segue here. That's a good pick, good illustration. That's what we've done. We were in Buffalo, New York this weekend. Many of you know that. And I'm going to give a little bit of a debriefing for some of these guys as I paint this picture for you. Why I think what we're talking about is so important. We have a when we were at Target, Serge was there, Mike Heath was there. Paul Mador was there. Paul's not with us today. Robert's there. We're going to have a picture of Robert street preaching here in a minute. Tell you a story about Robert. And it became obvious to me that that the Bible, most people coming by probably were churchgoers. I'm just guessing. Probably were churchgoers, but they weren't Christians. They weren't Bible believers. But they loved the gospel of love. They loved the gospel of love. As long as if we were out there handing out rainbow necklaces, oh, they would have loved us. In fact, they would have probably given us donations. But Mike Heath was standing out there holding a sign of two Marines kissing. They didn't like that very well. So see, whether we understand this or not, we have given them a different gospel. Paul warned us about it. Jesus warned us about it. We're warned about it in the book of Jude. A different gospel. And we had this one homo Christian man. He had to be homo. He was so effeminate. Came up and wanted to argue with us about our preaching on the street there wasn't effective, and we're turning people all away, and yada, 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 yada. And I leaned over, I don't know if it was Serge, I leaned over to somebody and said, you know, hey, Roger, wide and narrow, brother. Broad, few. I'm telling you. Now, I don't want to get caught in the trap of saying that how much a better Christian than I am than everybody else. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But the darkness outside that Target in Buffalo, New York, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And so people do have a form of godliness, 2 Timothy tells us, but they deny the power thereof, and from such men turn away. I want to take just a – I want to – Serge, get ready, and Mike, get ready. I'm going to let you testify here a minute. You want to say something, Larry?
Yeah. You just said something that just – I mean, it just hit me like a baseball bat. You said that you don't want to, you know, get in the position of being a better Christian. You know – Christian, there is no such thing as a better Christian. Amen. You have Christians and you have not Christians. There's no almost Christians.
Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Amen. I'm going to show you. I don't even know if we can get up here later, because I tried to see. Here's a problem. We go to Facebook to get some of our videos, and they're not YouTubed, and so they're hard to catch. And hopefully, we're going to be able to get a video up here of Doug DuBose here in a minute. Let me give you a little background why I ended up in Buffalo, New York. I met Doug when I was down for Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas, and it was interesting. At the Hear the Watchman conference, we did a Flip Benham and I did an altar call, and hundreds of men came forward. Hundreds of men came forward, and it was to get men to see to go get a bunch of information, not do anything with it, isn't any good. So we're trying to spur men to action. Hundreds of men. And later on, a month later, we contacted every one of those guys to try to set up a boot camp down in Texas, outside of Austin, I think it was. And two came. List of 100, phone called every one of them, two came. So I've come to understand even more deeply that most people just want to gripe, or they're scared. Probably both. But Doug DuBose is one of those guys. He said, "Coach, when you gave that altar call down in Dallas, it just went right through me. Just went right through me. This guy's been saved. You guys ready for this? He's been saved since October, not October 1952." Since last October. He's been saved since last October. Now, he's been on a fast track. This is why you start thinking about what's going on, why some guys get it and why some guys don't get it. And I think the Lord's marked some people. I just really, really now beginning to understand that even more. It's not a salvation issue, but some people are marked more than other people to do certain things. Doug DuBose, I'm going to play this here in a second. Doug DuBose has been saved since October. He wouldn't mind me telling this. He got saved when his wife got cancer. He was lost. He said he was a pornographer. He said he was an adulterer, hooked on pornography, drinking, cussing, carousing. His wife's got cancer, broke him. He hit his knees, called out to the Lord. "Lord, I need you. Help me get through this." And he said he has not looked at one pornography thing since that day. Not taken one drink of beer since that day. The miracle power of God flooded into his life. And this guy is on fire. So he calls me. He began calling me 2 months ago. He said, "Coach Dave, I'm trying to get something going." So he gets this thing going up in Buffalo, New York. And I jumped in my car and I drove to Buffalo, New York the other night. Mike Heath and his buddy Paul Madore, they drove from Augusta, Maine to Buffalo. Robert Sellers jumped in his truck and he drove from Atlanta, Georgia, outside Atlanta, Georgia, to Buffalo, New York. Took him almost 18 hours because of traffic. Drove straight through. He and his wife didn't stop. Well, they stopped, but didn't stay overnight. Drove straight through. Something is going on. And we are talking to people right now who know what we're talking about. See, Jesus said, "Those who have ears to hear, let them hear." Evidently, guys, not everybody has ears. And the Lord said, "He who has eyes to see, let him see." Evidently, not everybody has eyes. And I'm trying to help you, encourage you today to understand there's a mark on you. And you can run from it if you want to. You can hide in your house if you want to. You have been marked. And if you are being drawn back to this show every day, and many of you are, many hate it. I hear from them. Many hate this show. But if you find yourself being drawn back to this show every day, there's something going on. You better ask the Lord, "Lord, what is it? What is it, Lord? What is it about that guy?" See, it ain't this guy. There's something in my spirit that's drawing you. There's something in the Holy Spirit in me that is drawing you. Now, you're going to have to answer the call, or you're not going to. And if you don't answer the call, you're going to be stinking miserable. I got an email yesterday. Let's see if I can find it here real quick. I'm sorry, guys. I feel like I'm all over the place today. I'm really not. Let me see it. I got this email. I got to read this. This is from a guy in New Zealand. Now, help me out here. Isn't New Zealand like on the other side of the world or something? I mean, that's not just across the street, is it? Huh? Hang on. I can't find the thing. There it is. No, that's not it. New Zealand! I was sitting in front of my house.
Coach.
Yes.
I have it up. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, read it, Mike. From New Zealand. Listen to me. I'm not talking about me or even us. The Lord is doing something, my friends. The Lord is doing something. Go ahead, Mike. Read what this guy wrote to me from New Zealand.
"Hi, Coach. Just a heads up. We're listening every day here in New Zealand. I realize I have been starved of truth for years. Keep feeding us meat. You caused me to go and check out the Word. I'm devouring the Word daily now. Been a Christian for over 20 years. Been to Bible college. Never been challenged with God's Word like this. Love you, brother. Say good day to Larry, JR, and the lads. Tony Summer."
Unbelievable. Is that unbelievable? Hey, screen share. Mike's trying to screen share for us. I'm like, Mike, I had to go look. Where is it? Where's New Zealand? Yeah, last night when I got this email, it was 9 o'clock. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon where he is, and I think it's the next day. I think. Isn't it? Isn't today, tomorrow already in New Zealand? I think it is. New Zealand, clear down here to right. See Australia? Look where New Zealand is. Look at that. And right now they're looking at you, Serge, Larry, Stephen. Something's going on. I praise the Lord. Something is going on. Serge, so we went to Planned Parenthood. We went to Target. We held signs. We preached the gospel. Serge lives up in the Buffalo area, so we got him connected with Doug, who's really still not even connected with us. Hey, Serge, just give us a little bit of a debriefing of your experience out there. Hey, listen, hang on a minute before you do. There's Doug Dubow. Doug, if you're screen sharing right now, there's Doug. That's the guy who called me. He said, come on, coach. He's been saved since October. How many of you have been sitting in the damn pew for 40 years? For October. He calls me, gets men to come up there and stand with him. And he just getting started. He ain't backing down. I can promise you that. He ain't backing down. Hey, Serge, hang on a minute. Let's go to Doug Dubow's first, okay? Let's go to Doug Dubow's. Doug Dubow's senior. This guy right there, I know Doug wouldn't mind me telling you. He said he was an adulterer. He was a pornographer. He was a drunk. He was everything you wanted. Everything. Everything you wouldn't want somebody to be. He was until last October. And then he told me this, sitting at the table yesterday. His wife was saved, and she was in a church, but he went into that church with her. And he had to get out. He says, honey, they're not teaching stuff that's true. They're not teaching stuff that's in the Bible. So October he got saved. And he knew that. He knew that in October. We've got to get out of that church. They're not teaching stuff that's true. Go ahead and play this. Not long. Just I want you to hear Doug. Took him to the clinic for the first time. No sound? That always happens. Not blaming anybody. We put something on hold for a while. So Jared, we'll come back to that. Let's go to Serge. Serge, tell us. I'm going to have Serge tell us something and Mike tell us something because they were both there. Serge. You're muted still, bud. Or maybe Jared hadn't had a chance to unmute you. I got him bouncing all over the place here. So let's give him a second. There you go, Serge.
How about now?
There you go.
I don't even know where to start or how it happened, me listening to the coach. But he sparked the fire under me. I've been sitting in the pews since 87. I did a little bit when I first came to the Lord. But I was listening to the pastors up there. And it's funny because I went from church to church to church thinking that I was going to find what I needed to hear. And it's amazing. I hear it now on the internet. But
you didn't even know what you needed to hear, did you, Serge? No. You just knew you weren't hearing it.
Yeah, exactly. And the coach told me about Doug that was in Buffalo, and it got me excited. And I'm almost embarrassed. I am embarrassed because here it is, a man that's only got 9 months, and he is on fire, and he already knows the word.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It's almost like God has opened the pages and photographically printed them in his brain. And when he hears something that isn't of the word of the Lord, he just knows it.
Hey, Serge, let me ask you this, Serge, for those who are out there who are watching us right now down in New Zealand and different places. You probably were a little bit apprehensive when you went. We went to the Planned Parenthood first, and then we went to the Target. What did you feel when it was all over, Serge?
All over?
When we were done and you went home.
Mixed feelings. First of all, I felt bad that I gave Roger the wrong directions to go to Niagara Falls. I got to apologize to him, so I'm apologizing on the internet for him, to him and his wife. But hopefully, they found Niagara Falls. But it was mixed feelings. Grateful that the Lord brought me there, but just ashamed of. The population of the world. I mean,
you just, saw, Serge, you saw what we're fighting, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The Lord brought everything to us. I mean, there were people that were proud of us. There were people that were praying for us. Then there were people that were just hating us. And it just was like the demons were there instantly.
You know, Serge, Mike, you'll appreciate this. I spoke to Doug last night. I gave him a call last night just to thank him for everything that he'd done. You know, he pointed something out to me. He says, Coach Dave, you know what I came away with? I says, what's that, Doug? He says, it was all women yelling at us. He said, the men just kind of walked along beside their women while their women screamed at us. Yes or no, Serge? Yes or no?
90% yes.
So we got the feminist women, even in the church, screaming and hollering with their dutiful little scared men walking right along beside of them. It's amazing, folks. It's amazing what's going on. This is spiritual. Okay, spiritual. God bless you, Serge. Jared, go ahead, Jared.
Hear me?
Yeah.
All right, maybe the video will work. But I agree. Me and Dad were talking about it, about the getting closer to the root of the culture problem, you know. And feminism, it explodes if you – if you even bring up that a man should be a leader in a home, even in the Christian church, but it's just, if you,
Jared, I gotta stop you a second.
Unreal.
Hang on, I'm gonna piggyback on that, Jared, because when Robert Sellers, who drove all the way from Atlanta, Georgia, got out of his car, out of his truck, and he walked over, he started street preaching. Do you know what he started street preaching? It was unbelievable. I don't think we have the beginning of it here. We're going to let's get Doug DuBose ready first, Jared. Here's what Robert said when he got out of the truck. He says, women of Buffalo, I am here to apologize that there aren't any men. Where are the men? And Doug, he went on for 40 minutes about men not being men. And you know what? Oh, it ticked off that Jezebel spirit, man. The last thing the women want is for a man to be a man. It's the last thing they want. No, wait a minute. Not all of them. Not a lot. Not all of them. Huh? No. Not all of them. But that's the last thing most women want. Here's Doug DuBose. We got it set up and ready to go. This guy's been saved since October. Only October. And he makes this video and streams it live, I think, as he was doing it. Go see if we can get it now, Jared.
In the North Tonawanda area. The Bible says that God knew us before we were born. He knew us from the womb. And let's call it what it is. Abortion is murder, plain and simple. And Planned Parenthood is sponsoring murder. And the Republicans and the Democrats are taking blood money from Planned Parenthood and these murder mills. And as Christians, we are commanded to be salt and light unto this present evil world. And it's time for us to take a stand against evil. And we need to call evil evil. And we need to speak out against it, because there's power when we speak out against evil. There's power in the words that we speak. And if we don't take a stand for God, if we are ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of us. If we deny him, he's going to deny us. And so we have a responsibility to speak out against this wickedness. It's because of this wickedness. It's because millions of babies have been aborted in this nation that God is now sending a spirit of murder to this nation. And this is why we're seeing the blood being shed in our streets. I'm calling on all of you that may be standing up for abortion to repent. Okay? We need to repent before God. We need to cry out before God. We need to repent of our sins. We need to repent of our murderings, of the abortions. We need to repent of our idolatry, our witchcraft. We need to repent of our spiritual apathy. Okay, you that call yourselves Christians, that sit at home, and you're not willing to take a stand against unrighteousness, shame on you. Okay, we need men to stand up in this country. We need you to be salt and light. Christian women, you need to speak to the young women. You need to teach them that abortion is murder. I'm going to call it what it is. It's murder, plain and simple. Okay? And so until we take a stand, okay, we don't even call yourself Christian. If you're not willing to take a stand, if you're not willing to speak out against unrighteousness in this nation, don't call yourself Christian. Okay? Because we're supposed to be salt and life. And if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing than to be trodden underfoot. I'm calling on you to speak out. I'm calling on you to stand up. God bless you.
A Christian since October. Huh? Listen, turn to Mark 10. We're going to have Robert coming up next. I want you to hear some of this. I want you to turn to Mark 10 real quick. Mark 10. Thank you, Lord, for this. Lord, thank you for these men. Thank you for these men, Lord. Lord, call more. Lord Jesus, call more men. Call out your army, Lord Jesus. Call out your spiritual army, Lord. Lord, call out the sergeants and the captains and the generals and the privates and the medics. Call out your men, Lord. Oh, Lord, shake them loose from those sissified buildings called churches, Lord. Shake them loose from that, Lord Jesus. Shake them loose from it. Church yesterday, I'm going to show you something. Oh, by the way, I got wind. My wife was, you'll appreciate this, Roger. One of the accusations that's being made against me by a group of people who used to be friends with me, I guess that's the right way to say it, is that I really crossed the line when I started teaching that God doesn't love everybody. I just crossed the line. I'm tearing down everything that they've been trying to do. They've been trying to get everybody to come to the love of Jesus, and I'm undermining everything they do by teaching that God doesn't love everybody. Now, you know what I teach. God's love's available to everybody. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, right there's the separation, that whosoever, God loved the world. He loved it. His love is available to everybody in the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I get all that. But this idea that God loves a head chopper Muslim the way he loves Larry, stupid! Not only is it stupid, it can't be supported any place in the scripture. So I got a scripture by the way, I came home and Googled it. You can't find where God loves everybody. Google it. You do your own Bible search. You Google it. Esau, I love Jacob. Jacob, I've loved. Esau, I've hated. There's two groups right there. God hates all workers of iniquity. There it is. Right there.
Amen.
So I'm in Mark chapter 10. You ready? I'm going to blow you away here. Verse 17, just because that's where I want to start. Mark 10, 17. I'm not going to read a lot of scripture. I'm coming to you still, Mike. Don't forget. Verse 17. Jesus was talking to him about little children. Suffer not the little children. Make sure those little kids come to me. Then, hey, yeah, kids ain't going to come to him. You put them in government schools. They ain't coming to Jesus in government schools. I can promise you that, okay? I had somebody else this weekend try to get me to soften my message. I'm not going to reach people with that harsh message. I say, hey, don't listen to Joel Osteen then. Turn me off. verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came unto running and kneeled unto him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I might inherit eternal life? Get this picture. This guy runs up to him. It's called the rich young ruler, we find out later on. This guy runs up to the Lord and he bows before him, drops down, bows. Says, Lord, what can I do to get eternal life? Let's watch this love message that Jesus delivers. And Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? There's none good but one. That's God. And then he says, he reads this guy's mail. Jesus says, Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't kill. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Listen, Jesus doesn't know this guy. This guy comes running up to him. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all of these things I have observed since my youth. I am the best Christian you will ever come across, Lord. I've done it all. I've done it all. I've followed every rule and every regulation, paid my tithes, helped old women across the street. I've done everything. Watch this. Don't miss this. 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You'd expect Jesus right now to give him a big old hug. Oh, just come and say this prayer, and oh, you'll have eternal life, and oh, you just be good as can be. Go, come on. Walk down this aisle, say, Lord, call out my name, Jesus, and we'll be okay, me and you. Yes? Look what he says. Jesus is loving him. It says, then Jesus beheld him and loved him. Look what he said. Okay, boy. He says, one thing you lack. You go your way. You sell whatsoever that you have, and you give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross. Follow me. Watch, don't miss this. Jesus loved him so much, he broke him down. He said, oh, you think you're good, huh? Well, get rid of that crap you got. You love that crap more than you love me. This is an expression of love to this rich young ruler. This expression of love is truth. He's speaking the truth to him. You can never come and be my disciple as long as you're hanging on to this stuff that you think belongs to you. As long as you're loving other stuff other than me, you can never be my disciple. That's how Jesus showed him love, wasn't it? Watch this. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? See, it doesn't matter how much you have. It's what has hold of you. Doesn't matter what you're holding. It's what has hold of you, see. And I had some guy tell, some dude used this scripture right here to show me that Jesus loves everybody, see. See, hey, guys, do you read that and think Jesus is saying he loves everybody there? He's saying your works is filthy rags. You got all this other crap out there. You think you're self-important. You want to know I love you enough, buddy? I'm going to tell you the truth. You're so full of yourself, you're never going to be able to make it to me. That's the way I see it. That's what he just read to him. Here's the problem. You listening? See, this guy thought this stuff was his. He didn't know it was the Lord's. We all fall into that trap. It's a nice house I live in. I think it's mine. Nice car I drive. I think it's mine. All this stuff that I have, I think it's mine. Be gone tomorrow. All of it could be gone tomorrow. So ask yourself this. You're going to lose it. You'll lose it all. Your choice is, do you want to give it or you want it stolen? Because you're going to lose it all, baby. You're going to lose it all. You're either going to give it to advance the kingdom, or you're going to have him take it from you. Now, I want to back up a couple of verses because I'm going to show you something. Boy, guys, when you get into the Word is so deep. So deep. I'm at the top of my page. It's 22, verse 22. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. 21. I've got to go back to 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and he said unto him, one thing you lackest. Go your way, sell whatsoever you have, and give it to the church. Is that what it says? No. Don't give it to the church. Give it to the poor. I'm going to make a transition. Right, boy, I feel the Holy Spirit. Make a transition right here. Every one of you watching me right now, you are so full of riches. And you refuse to share it with the poor. I'm talking about spiritual riches. I'm not talking about money. I watched Doug Dubose. He is so full of spiritual riches that he can't wait to give it to the poor. Whom you love, you serve. I don't know if you saw the video I made the other day, Saturday when we were there. I asked this question, can you love the Lord too much? Because I had somebody say that to me. Coach, you're just a fanatic. You just love the Lord too much. You're just turning everybody off. By the way, Jesus once said he wishes you were hot or cold. And I said, well, let me ask you. Can you love your wife too much? Anybody ever accuse you? Man, coach, you just love your wife too much. You're always doing stuff for her and giving her stuff. Stop that, man. Or, oh, coach, you just love your family too much. You get them a nice house to live in and you buy them stuff and you feed them. You just love them too much. No, it would be an honor, wouldn't it, if you loved your family and everybody recognized how much you loved your family? They'd put that in your obituary. What a great family man he was and how he served his family, served the American Legion, served the community. Serve the Lord. Something wrong with you, boy. Something wrong with you. And Jesus himself said that we're to love the God with what? All our mind, all our... I can't even get it out. All of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind. We're supposed to love the Lord that way. Now, how do you show somebody you love them? By sitting in a church and singing songs to them? Or by going out and giving everything you have to the poor? It humbles me. Even today, how selfish I am. Even today. So selfish. Mike, you were there. You were in Buffalo. What was your take?
I want to do a shout-out to the Scots-Irish, and I want to urge everyone to watch a one-hour video at the Smithsonian Channel. They just put it up on YouTube.
Send us a link. Send us a link, Mike.
Right. I'll try to find it and send it. The Smithsonian Channel, if I forget, and it's called Born Fighting. Senator James Webb wrote the book a few years ago, and he honored his forebears, his ancestors, who were Scots-Irish, came over from the British Isles. And the first, we owe a lot to them because the principle that is articulated by the First Amendment and which protected our right to be in the Target parking lot yesterday is to a large degree here in America, and it's very special because of the way the Scots-Irish have integrated themselves into the entire country. They were brought here in part by those who lived in Pennsylvania because of their willingness to fight for what they believed in. And one of the things that they care about the most is the freedom to speak. And it's interesting that the Methodist movement, which grew up within Anglicanism, was responsible for creating a lot of these Baptist churches in down in West Virginia, where you went after the flood, and those values spread throughout our country, and they're part of the warp and woof of our country today. And I saw the benefit of that in front of Target in the parking lot because you and I, Coach, were standing there. I was holding the sign of the two male Marines, lip-locked, and these the employees of Target approached us, and they were somewhat sheepish and polite. Why? I mean, we're on the verge of tyranny in this country where the truth that we're articulating to a public, some of whom don't want to hear it, and they congregated inside the Target building, and they whined to the management, and they built this pressure up, and the police came, and everything, you know, it all developed in about 45 minutes. But after all that happened, because of the First Amendment, because of the Scots-Irish, because of this passion for freedom, the freedom to do what? The freedom to have people speak, especially about religious subjects, and also political subjects. America is unique in this regard, and I experienced it firsthand, and every Christian needs to experience it firsthand.
Amen.
It's powerful. Preaching is powerful, and we have the opportunity to do it because, in part, because of the First Amendment, but we're on the verge of losing it. We're on the verge of a one-world sort of very evil tyranny clamping down and stopping this speech from happening. Very dangerous. One more point. The speech that offends people is what you articulated just now in that scripture verse, and that is repent of your sins. That's the speech. They're fine with the rainbow necklace, like you said, but to stand there and present them with facts about morality, especially in a Christian context, offends them. But you know what, Coach? That's not new. The Methodist circuit riders encountered the exact same thing from the Scots-Irish when they went into those little towns, in those little locked in those little valleys. They were not embraced and loved. You can read story after story after story of these preachers having rocks thrown at them and rotten fruit and the whole thing. But you know what? A few people repented. A few people heard it. And a church was started. A church was started. And now we have the First Amendment, we have the United States of America, and we have this wonderful freedom. I'll stop.
I wanted to hear more. I do. Hang on. I'm trying to free, free flow of information in my head. Guys, one of the problems we're facing in America today is we saw this a month or so ago when we studied the communist agenda. We talked about the demoralization of America. Do you remember that? Demoralization meaning eliminating all morality. We're seeing it right now. This whole Black Lives Matter movement is fabricated, by the way. It's made up. But at the heart of it is a lack of morality. There's no sense of right and wrong anymore. There's no sense of right and wrong anywhere. Right and wrong has become whatever you want it to be. And the only hope, here's why the gospel is the only hope. I can testify to this. Doug Dubose can testify to this. We all can testify to this. The only thing that can conquer evil, an evil heart, is a heart restrained by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only thing that can restrain an evil heart. And think about what percentage probably today, not only of Americans who go to church to hear really the gospel of Jesus, how many that would be? Few, the Bible tells us. Think about this. How little must be the percentage of Black men who go to church and hear the truth of the gospel? Few, few. How many Black men have a spiritual, moral leader in their home, a man to teach them right from wrong? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And I get so sick and tired of people accusing me when I go to the streets that I should just preach the gospel. It's the full counsel of God. If someone's getting ready to kill a baby, you don't preach the gospel. You stop the killing of the baby, and then maybe you can give them the gospel. But if you think that you could stand outside of an abortion clinic and be sugary sweet, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, and you think you're going to stop, see, you don't care about stopping the killing of an unborn baby. You don't need, that doesn't matter to you. You want to get them saved. Hey, Roger, if you and I ever go on vacation and we're out in Myrtle Beach someplace, and I'm out there paddling on my board, whatever those boards are, and a wave hits me. I pray you try to rescue me before you give me the gospel. We're so screwed up. Jared, let's get Robert ready here. We're not going to play much of Robert. I hope this shames you. Everybody watching this right now, I hope this shames you, what you're going to watch. Because you sit there and with comfort of your home looking at your little cell phone, watching us and getting pumped up and getting full of riches, and then the Dead Sea becomes dead because it only flows in, it never flows out. You're a Dead Sea Christian sitting there. This guy drives 18 hours, parks his car in a handicap thing, he's got his cane, waddles over there, and he opens his mouth, and he goes for 40 minutes. And I want you to watch this, the simplicity of the gospel. You don't have to stand in some pulpit with boosted up hair and puffed up jeans. You don't have to do that stuff. Robert took the sword of the Spirit, and he went to the gates of hell, and he unleashed the sword. You know what they said? Keep that in church. Get that in church. Don't bring that out here. Keep that stuff to yourself. Well, Robert never batted an eye, except when he'd stop and cry every once in a while, because how much he loves the Lord and how honored he was to be able to be there and suffer for sharing the gospel. Let's listen to a couple minutes here of Robert, all the way from 18 hours in a truck and then 18 hours back home.
Begging for mercy. But hey, I got news for you. There won't be a second chance. We got the chances right here now. He has written his word. He has given it to us. Hey, don't disregard something if you haven't read the first page, and you ain't read the middle, and you ain't read the end. Because, hey, there's truth in that. And you tell me why a book that God inspired man to write, and Satan and his demons have been trying to destroy it for thousands of years, and hey, guess what? It is still the number one book. Oh, my goodness, Satan's alive. When is people going to wake up to the lies that Satan puts forth? Target, I feel so sorry for the people that work for you, because most of them don't agree with it, but they're trying to keep their families together. They're trying to keep a roof over their head, and Target is using their job as blackmail, just like this president and Congress. And hey, it ain't no Democrat thing, it ain't no Republican thing. It ain't no white thing, it ain't no black thing, Hispanic. It's either righteous Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, or it's Satan. No in-between. No in-between. You are either, as a great person that once said, you either follow Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, or you follow Satan. And hey, when you follow Satan, guess what the outcome's going to be? It's going to be the lake of fire where the word says a worm dies not. And hey, you are going to be gnashing your teeth. You're going to be in so much pain. Hey, it's no fairy tale. Hey, there's been people, I can tell you from personal experience, that there is godly angels on here. I have met one. And hey, praise God to be that he told me it wasn't my time. And hey, that was about 20 years ago, and I praise God, my Lord and Savior, for not allowing me to take my life, and here I am today. Hey, partner, come here. We're all here.
You can cut it off there, Jared.
We're all born in this world as a sinner.
I can promise you this. They weren't coming around giving him high fives. He ain't seminary trained. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in his heart. It's the most innocent thing that you can do is watch a guy like this open his mouth and trumpet the truth to a bunch of people who do not want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it from Robert. And I'm thinking about those of you who are watching this right now. How many riches you got inside you? How many riches do you have in you? And you know what? You're just like a guy on Wall Street. You go to church on Sunday, and you get yourself all filled up with riches, and you can't wait for six more days to go play the market and get yourself filled up with more riches. You never go and share it with anybody. You know better. You know you don't go and stand up for truth anywhere. You just you got spiritual diabetes. You're just freaking sick with all the sweetnesses in you and all the treasures and all the jewels you have inside you. They're rotten inside of you. The Lord says no man buries it. No man buries it. That this great gift, this pearl of great price, you sell everything you have to get it. And now you got it, and you sit on your arse. You won't do anything about it. Why? Because that 6-foot icicle you sit in front of every Sunday tells you you're not supposed to. Tells you the guys like Robert are fanatics. You don't want to act like that. You give Jesus a bad name. People won't want to come to him then. Because they want to come and sit on his lap and they want to be with somebody nice. And I can't tell you the number of times standing out in front of Target on Saturday, I heard people say, God is love. The gospel's love. Jesus loves. You guys are hate. Jesus loves. They got that one down, boys. They got that love thing down. Wonder where they heard all that crap. They'd have killed Robert if they could have. They'd have killed him if they could have. What do you think? Come on, man. Jump in here. Hey, John Pride, I'm coming your way. Coming to Wichita, brother. Going to be out there in about a week from today, isn't it? Yeah, I'll be there a week from today. Can't wait to get out there. And you know what's going to happen, John? In Wichita, we're going to find 500 guys just like old Robert out telling people the truth. Right, John?
Yeah, Coach. You got me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I tell you, it's already ramped up. We had probably the most vicious attack in the newspaper yesterday. There were 3 articles in the newspaper. According to the newspaper, there's going to be somewhere between 125 and 150 law enforcement officers covering the event, with the entire police force of 675 on call the whole week, because it's really ramping up. I tell you, we can have all as many saints as we can get come in here would be beautiful, because it's going to be quite the sight.
And you know what the crazy thing is? Listen to me. Righteous are bold as lions, and evil men flee when no one pursues. See, we're going to go to Wichita. We ain't chasing anybody. We're going to go to Wichita, Kansas, and we're going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ on the streets, and we're going to declare that unborn babies have the right to live. And we find out that the police have a 60-page dossier. Didn't I see that, John? A 60-page dossier on everybody who's coming and what they're all about, and 150 officers. We're gentle Christians. We don't hurt anybody. We don't hurt anybody. But see what the devil does? The devil does what they call projection. If the devil was in charge, they'd be killing people. You see it in Black Lives Matter. The devil's in control. Because the devil's in control, there's death. God goes. Jesus goes. Yep. There ain't death, there's life. We life opposing death. And who do they point at as the dangerous ones? Those who are opposing death. Those who are standing for life. Roger's thinking about coming. Yes or no, sure. There, Weave? Huh? How about that?
Yeah. There it is.
Rich is go ahead, Rog. Rich is come and go.
Oh, hey, I can't ever get John the Baptist off my mind.
He'd be in Wichita.
And Jesus said no one was greater than him.
Right. That's right.
I think of Paul and Timothy when he was in prison, and all this teaching comes from the huddle, and everybody had deserted him. And he cried out, yep. I'm cold. Bring me my coat.
Yep, Paul, that's right. I have cold. Yep, suffering till the end, wasn't he? Huh? Hey, they hate Robert. They hate him in Buffalo. They don't even know who he is, but they hate him. I can promise you that. And all he did was bring the gospel of life. Just he brought life to them, and they hate it. Men run from the light. They love darkness, for their deeds are dark. Their deeds are evil. And when you bring the light, you have to get 150 police officers, mounted troops, and all the other police on call. For what? Gentle Christians that are going to come into the streets and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and share the love of Jesus with them. Mike's going to go. Rob or Larry's going to go.
I will say this, Coach. I will say this. I've been in all the police meetings so far, and so far, the police have probably been the most – they've been more welcoming than the church, okay?
Isn't that something?
Just to give you an idea, and I've been in like five meetings with law enforcement, and I've gotten more love so far today – from law enforcement than I have from the Church of Wichita, Kansas.
Unbelievable. Doesn't surprise me. You know, John, I think back to when we did Operation Save America here in Columbus, Ohio in 2004, I think it was. And I was just – I'd only been out of coaching for about 3 or 4 years, and I wasn't quite as notoriously pro-Jesus as I am today. I was on training wheels, if you know what I'm talking about. And we have this big event in Columbus, Ohio, and they're having all these same kind of meetings going on. And one of my former players was in the meeting, in the police briefing. And they handed out a dossier, a big old page, and there was my picture, and they said stuff about me. And then there was one of – they flipped it over, and there was one of Flip Benham, and showing us police. These are the guys you got to look out for, and all that stuff down there. And my this guy played football for me, told me that he stood up in the meeting and says, "Hey, listen. This guy was my coach. This isn't true. This isn't true. I know this guy." Devil's always at work, man. Devil's always at work trying to muddy your reputation. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Yes, sir. It's all good. It's all good. Just a few minutes left. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mike. Coach.
I think one of the things that's restraining the police from going where the church has gone is the First Amendment. And the First Amendment is there because preachers, the church of 250, 300 years ago in America, would not back down in the face of the sinners who confronted them when they came to their little American village and preached the gospel of repentance. Mm-hmm. And when all of that was factored in to the Constitution and then, of course, the Bill of Rights, religion was protected in a special way. And, of course, the police still have to live under the First Amendment. But if the church continues to be weak, we could very quickly fall into tyranny.
By Mike.
And the police would shift over to the other side quickly. It could happen very quickly.
Very quickly. And think right now, guys, which is more likely to happen? They're going to silence the mouth of the church or silence the mouth of Black Lives Matter? Who's out in the streets? Who's out there causing them a headache? Who is the squeaky wheel? The church or Black Lives Matter? And when it comes time to start putting some grease, where do you think they're going to put it?
Right.
Huh? You better wake up. You better wake up.
Doesn't even want a voice.
What's that?
The majority of the church doesn't even want a voice.
They don't even want to be heard. Leave me alone. Just leave me alone.
Isn't it ironic that those that have been taught the love are the ones who hate the truth the most?
That's right, Larry.
They hate it the most, and they claim to be rooted in love.
Amen. They don't even know what love is. They don't even know what love is. Great to see all you guys this morning. Got to run to the clinic here this morning. Yeah, I'm still going to go out there. Still going to go do it. Hey, we'd love to come to your town. If you're watching right now and you said, "Man, that Doug Dubose, that turned me on," we'll come to your town. If it's close, Rich will come. We know Robert will drive from wherever to come. And we are assembling the body together even more as we see that day approaching. And quit worrying about what your pastor says and what the elders in your church say. Quit worrying about it. Stop worrying about it. If your heart is beating fast right now, It's beating fast for a reason. It's because you're a marked man. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.